Amen, amen. We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Glory be to God. So let's open to our foundation text again. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 12. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, 12th verse, judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Amen. And this is an opportunity to get to know ourselves better and bless you in a more correct biblical manner, I guess, getting to know ourselves better. Amen. Look at verse 12, Hebrews 4, 12. You can't, sin knocked out the ability to get to know ourselves like we can be known. Sin knocked it out. So now we have distorted views of ourselves. We have things that we fixate on. We have things that we overlook. There are things we have blind spots. There are things we have no idea are going on in our lives. And all of that is a result of sin. This teaching is to help us to get to know, get through those fixations, the blind spots, get to see ourselves, and more importantly, become the best us in our sense that God made us for His praise, honor, and glory through His Word, power of the Holy Spirit, and so forth and so on. Does that make sense? I mean, Herbert, add all that other on there, because we ain't trying to get you to be your best self apart from God. Where you can't be your best self apart from God. When I say your best self, I mean that who God has made.
That's right.
Because who you are, God has made. Amen. You are, remember the black folks you tell each other, God didn't make no junk. Remember those little, he used to have posters in our room when I was in third grade. God didn't make no junk. Who is it that God has made? Who are you that God has made? Are you the best you that God has made? God created you for His glory. That means every trait, every attribute, every characteristic is to be used. Every quality, every bit of your personality is to be used for His glory. And I'm kind of realizing that even more and more as I'm studying on this today. We're going to go into this phase. He has made you for His glory. You're here for a reason.
Amen.
Nothing our old folks used to tell us was, you're not an accident.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You're not an accident.
Thank you, Father.
You're here by divine appointment.
Amen.
You're in existence for a reason. That is such an ugly, disturbing lie that adults would tell young folks. You're just an accident. You ain't nothing but junk. Why somebody got to make a post to God and make no junk? Because knuckleheads were saying that we was junk. Not only white folk, but black folk too. God created each and every one of us and gave us distinctive characteristics and qualities for a reason. We need to dig into that a little bit more. We also need to turn that air on too. It's hot that is. Oh, I forgot you. Well, I'm hot. Yeah. Can somebody know how to turn that? I think it's turned down like 73. We just go down 1 to 73 here. Hebrews 4:12. I think it's 74 in here, so it'll be 73. Alright. For the word of God is living. It is alive and constantly in operation. That's enough to just shout all day long once again. Wow, it is alive and it is constantly in operation. It's always working.
Hallelujah.
Now, whether or not we yield to it or not, remember we always talk about the bathroom break that you don't take. You tell me to take the bathroom break. You know, you're at work, and here we are again. You're mad again. This person just gets on your nerves. I remember I was playing basketball over in Garden City back in the day, and this one guy got on my nerves like no other person I ever played for in all my 20 years of playing. He just got under my skin. My baby saw me. He just brought out the worst in me. I don't know why. What? I don't know. He just got under my skin. And if you're working with someone like that, or here comes that customer, it really is an opportunity to bring Him glory. It really is. It's like, okay, I failed last time, but you ain't gonna get me this time, devil. Because the person had nothing to do with it. It's about you and God. This is a spiritual warfare. They just kind of in the middle. It's me, Holy Spirit, God the Father, Holy Spirit, and bringing him to glory. And this is an excellent opportunity. But you'll never look at this customer like that, or the coworker, whoever it is, unless you've been taught to look at things like to that degree. Like, I want another chance. Instead of like, good riddance. Hope you'll never come back again. Like, no, I want another chance because I didn't do that right. That's why marriage, Sister Landa tells us time and time again, and tells the married folk, and any who will listen, it's a great place for sanctification.
Yes, Lord.
Because you have a chance to do it again and again, and you have a chance to make it right and go over and over and over again and become more like Christ. Thank God for those opportunities. If you are really a true child of God, you're never satisfied when you don't bring him glory. If it is, I question your salvation. Because that Holy Spirit ought to be tearing you up. Why? The constantly alive and active operating operation of the Holy of the Word of God is in you saying, man, that ain't right. It's working in you. And in that case, it is a living thing, spiritually speaking. Remember, we're spirit beings. So it is living and alive and it is active. It's in operation. And piercing or penetrating as far as a division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge, expose, sift, analyze, and determine what is good or bad, every thought, that which we think and ponder, and the intentions, conceptions, and that which we conceive of the heart. Because the way I think about something and the reason I may do something may be completely different from the way you think about something, the way you do something, which is completely different from your motivations and intentions, because all of our personalities are different. And so we come at things a different way. Things I fixate on, you ain't thinking twice about. Things you may fix on, I'm not thinking twice about. Well, then I got to ask myself, well, why do I fixate on these things? Those things you got to think about. How do I bring me in line with the Word of God? Show me me. Show me why I think the way I do. Why does this bother me so? And I don't like that it makes me ugly when I'm bothered like this. And that's what this is designed to do. It's to help us to judge, sift through, and analyze our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's finish up with our true self. Our real self, again, that is the true self, is when our outward living matches our inward born-again nature. When our inward divine nature is displayed through our outward living. In other words, the real you is seen on the outside. Plain and simple. Outside meaning through your body. Remember, you say something with your body. You cut your eyes at somebody. That's part of your body. You may wave your hand in disgust. You follow what I'm saying? All those are with your body. So the real self is when our body, the actions of our body, matches us, the real us. In other words, we, the real us, is in control. 1 Corinthians 9:27. We have buffeted and beat our body. We've beaten it black and blue. We've made it our slave. We're in charge, and our body's conforming. Amen. And so when they see you, they see the Father. When they see you, they see the Father. Amen. Why? Because of what they see you do, what you do with your body. Kindness, gentleness, meekness, compassion, power under control, bold, fearless, but under the control Lord Jesus Christ. That's the real us. And we talked about Romans 12 too. All right, so we've gone over several verses there. We were in Romans 7. We finished up there where there was this epic battle. Let's put on display, explain the scripture, where the flesh is warring against the spirit, the real us. And Apostle Paul says, hey, I want to do good, I want to do right, but when I do, evil is present with me, and the bad I don't want to do, I end up doing, and the good I want to do, I end up not doing, you know, they're just battle. And I know we all deal with that battle. And so that's the real us battling our flesh. And it is, what it is this spirit is battling, the real us, is battling our flesh for control of the body. Because we don't want the body to manifest the deeds of the flesh. We want it to manifest the fruit of the spirit. And so there's this battle. And that's why you go to the bathroom, when I keep talking about that, because you're trying to get yourself together. Because if I stay out here in this mess, I'm going to say, see, with your mouth, I'm going to use my tongue and say something that's going to really damage this person. And more importantly, it's going to dishonor God in a mighty way. And maybe cause his word to be blasphemed, meaning evil spoken of, dishonored, discounted, discredited. You weren't given bodies to look cute and look good. That's just a side note if you even got that. It's about using it to glorify God. And so he's in this battle in Romans 7. And we read all that all the way down. And then we looked at verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Romans 7, 24. Who will deliver me? Set me free from the body of this body. Look at this body of death. That's because the spirit is good. Then he said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There you go. He got the answer. This is what's going to happen. Who will deliver me? Future question for the future. This is going to do it. Thank God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. But on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. So the battle rages until then. Does that make sense? Okay. We read that one many moons ago. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, which is a summation of what we just read in Romans chapter 7. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Thank you, Father. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk means to live, to conduct the whole of your being, your day to day, that which you think, speak, and do on a daily, habitually, order that according to the will, the dictates, and the desires of the Spirit. That which you think, speak, and do on a daily makes up a lifestyle. Walk means to conduct yourself. Order your lifestyle. See, not on a day. It's cool to have a good day, but it's better to have a good life.
Amen.
Am I talking about perfection? No. We're talking about direction. We ought to be headed that way. What way? Towards perfection. Towards conformity to Christ. We keep talking about a decreasing frequency of sin and an increasing frequency of righteous acts and righteous deeds. It ought to be apparent. You need to know that. You ought to know that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to tell you that. You are doing the things that need to be done, such as if your right hand offends thee, cut it off. You get extreme with it. Not literally maim yourself, but do what you, that's to go to aisle 9. That's what all that was about. Not aisle 2. Right? Do the extreme. Go to aisle 9. Get way away from that girl or that guy. Preserve your merit. I'm talking, you know, in that context. Yeah. Do what you got to do to remain holy, to remain pure. If your eyes looking at, pluck it out, he says. Get extreme. Never baby sin or wait even. And say, well, you know, it ain't that bad. At least I ain't doing what he done. Oh, boy, you're all in trouble now.
Yes, sir.
Never compare yourself to another human being. Sister Lana prayed with a deep breath when she prayed it. Father, thank you for a holiness, a standard that can nobody ever come up with but God. Don't don't you ever compare yourself to no other human being. Period. Saint or sinner. They're not God. He left us an example that we should follow. The word of God says, I think it's 1 Peter. Who is he? Jesus. And so, Apostle Paul says, the life that I now live, I live by faith, by trusting the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I make it through this. That's a turning point in my life, to understand that. Oh, ain't your grit your teeth anointing. It's not grit your teeth anointing. I'm going to do this. That'll get you nowhere with just some hurt teeth. And a doctor bill, because you're going to chisel your teeth down because you're gritting them all the time, grinding them. He said, I live by faith, meaning I trust the Son of God. He's coaching me through the Holy Spirit, through his word, how to walk this out. So he says, walk, live, conduct your whole life by the Spirit. The dictates, the desires, the demands, the counsel of the Holy Ghost, capital S. And you, the real you, will not carry out the desires, the dictates, the demands of the flesh. Now, my English scholars, very simple lesson. We've gone over this before. Very simple lesson. But I say, comma, walk by the Spirit. What is that? What kind of sentence is that? Yeah, well, well, what's the name of those command sentences, right? You might remember, huh? Imperative, meaning gives a command. What's the subject of any imperative sentence
you.
To be? You. So, when it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, he's saying you walk by the Spirit. Now, who is the you in there? Us, or the real us. That's the point I'm going to get to. He's talking to us, the real us, the spirit being that we are. You walk by the Spirit. The real you right here is being commanded to walk by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk according to his power and might. And you, there's you now, the real you, will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You know what? That's a $1 billion command as to how to win this war. Wow. He gave us a secret. We just don't carry it out. He said, you can win the war every time. He said, just walk by the Spirit. Why do we lose to the flesh so often? We don't continue to walk by the Spirit. It's just that simple. And we're all guilty of it. We lose because we stop walking, living, conducting the whole of our life, thought, word, and deed, according to the dictates and the desires and the counsel and the guidance and the coaching and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We stop that. And what do we start to do? To give in to the flesh. Now you say, man, I know this, Dad. This, hear me though. This is, I know this is ice to Eskimo, but I'm hoping you're hearing it afresh and anew like I am. We lose because we just stop. And the Holy Spirit, no, he said, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not, if you don't give up. If you don't, you're going to reap good if you don't start doing bad. When you're feeling weary and you don't, and you want to give up and the war and the battle is thick, remember to continue to trust God and not start thinking about, man, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm finna go on and just, here we go, do me. You know, the day you do you, the day you could die. You're gonna be a child of God. You're gonna go to heaven. But you could die doing you. Because God is saying, doing the direct opposite of what I told you to do. Oh man, that's a little dramatic, ain't it? I'm trying to make it even more drama than that. It's just that serious. This enemy out here hates us. And when we get into disobedience, We live by grace every day. But my Lord, if you just out there disobeying, it's a scary thing. He said, you will not carry out. That's guaranteed promise. You will not carry out the desire of the flesh. That's guaranteed. Not, you might not. The odds in your favor is a good chance. He said, you will not. I don't know if you're getting, this is a beautiful revelation here. He said, this will happen. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You will not curse your boss out or slap your husband or knock your kid in the head or think crazy thoughts, whatever it is. Because all of that are the dictates, the desires, and the demands of the flesh. Your flesh is screaming. Slap the kid. Curse. Say this. Get angry. Do this. Sin. And the lie behind that is, you'll be free, you feel better, you're feeling oppressed right now. That's a lie. And at that moment, you pray, Holy Ghost, help me to hear this lie and see it for what it really is, as a lie, and I will not give in Jesus' name. I'm up, Lord Jesus, not get your teeth anointed. I talk to him. I need you right now. And I tell you, one of the things that is just a beautiful thing is go to the bathroom, meaning get out of the situation right now. Calm yourself down. Walk away. Me and Sister Landon, we're trying to teach these young folks over there at Starkville, walk away. Just let it go. Let it go. That's a word for us too. Let it go. You're holding on to things, you need to let go. You're just praying, I don't know, you pray all the time about those weights. You think, well, it ain't a sin, but it's called a weight for a reason. It ain't helping you in the race, it's slowing you down. Meaning what? What does this mean? That's all metaphor. What does it mean actually? It's causing you not to bring God the glory that he deserves. You're bringing him some glory in a sense, but nothing that he deserves. And we're never going to give him what he deserves, but we can definitely do better than what we're doing. I will not be satisfied nor content with where I am. Don't ever become complacent that way. I've always told you one of the scariest things that can happen is success. Because success will cause flesh to think, relax. Soul, take thine ease. Chill. The moment you do, here comes something crazy going on. Like, oh, Lord, where did this come from? And we've all been on life long enough. Probably little even Noah might have been on the earth long enough. Things change on a dime. It was sunny when we drove here. Not lightning almost struck 2 seconds from us. That bug was loud. It changes on a dime. But guess who's there constantly already waiting? Full effect, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, our angels. We the nut that's jacking things up. Stay focused. This is a mighty promise. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's a mighty guarantee from God himself. Please help us to get that, Father. You are guaranteeing it. It's not just something from Apostle Paul he made up. He's promising us, guaranteeing it. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. How many know that you can control your flesh? Yeah, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? I'm asking you, I'm challenging you. Do you really believe that? That's what you got to get before yourself and God. Yeah. Father God, I believe it in church, but when I kind of get over here in front of a big pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, I don't know if I believe that or not. And you're in this store buying it. You know what I'm saying? We got to believe more than just in the church house. You know. When we out there being really tempted, needing to really walk this thing out, we need to believe it then. I mean, we first got in, got saved, me and Sister Pookie, and we was over at Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. Man, everything was so exciting. It was just, I mean, the lights would seem brighter than normal. The days was bright. Man, we'd be in church all day, man. The organ going, dun, dun, dun. And we just happy. We all out in the parking lot, chit-chatting, man. Just beautiful. It was exciting. But guess what? Life happened. Beginning to realize, whoa, Nelly, where are these tools I need to deal with this? Because I'm going to tell you something, word of life, good feelings will always come to an end. I guarantee you. And when the good feelings came to an end, then what you going to do? If you aren't being taught, if the tools are being put in your hands, then what are you going to do then? That's why we get mad. My baby got mad. She's in church. She said, I'm in church from 5 years old to 18 years old. I've been in church for 13 years. I done met this knucklehead for 5 minutes. He tell me a scripture and I ain't never heard in 13 years. What in the world? She's so mad she left the church right there. She met me for a week. I don't know, a couple of months. But not 13 years. Why? I've never heard. I said, yeah, that's in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. Yeah, it's right here. What? We need the truth, y'all. That's what we need. Verse 17. Verse 16 again. Be you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What a promise, what a guarantee. Verse 17. Because the flesh sets itself, its desires, its demands, its dictates against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. If this battle is raging so strong that you don't take a decisive stand, I'm talking about the real you, and stand on that word, it'll lock you up where you end up not doing what God wants you to do. And this is a great apostle Paul saying that you may not do the thing that you want to do. And that goes back to him in the battle in Romans chapter 7. Father God, I just believe, I think we're getting it here just a little bit, but I believe across your church in this world, your children, we're not understanding the realness of this battle. I know realness ain't no proper word, but it is today. Then we're not understanding the realness of this battle and how dangerous this battle is and how ongoing it is, day after day, night after night. Help us to get a hold of the realness of this battle, the gravity of it, because every loss brings you dishonor. It robs you of your glory. Every loss, every single loss of every minute of every day robs you of the glory that you so richly deserve. I'm begging you, Father God, bring the gravity of this, in Latin, the gravitas of this battle into our heart and mind, that we may understand it more fully in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I feel that. I think we just too frivolous on that. This is very serious because it is so easy to sin. It is so easy to sin. It's so easy just to say something. Because you're mad. Your flesh is just, that did it. And whether you say it out loud or whether you keep it inside, when that did it, you know what's coming after that. Nothing good is coming out of that. Because what you've done is you was gritting your teeth when you was hanging on in there. You thought you were doing it by faith in the Son of God. You're like, okay, I ain't gonna say nothing. But you and your grit your teeth and on, you're not living by faith in the Son of God. And when your teeth get grindy enough, you're like, that's it. And you let them have it. And you just regurgitate all the filth that's in your heart all on them. There's a war going on, and it goes on every single day inside of you. Inside of you. People are just people, circumstances, situations, and things happening around you, they're just baits. They're just a hook. That war is inside of you. Yeah. It's how you respond. Aren't we all going through things?
Amen.
Probably got about 300 in your family. Lord, have mercy. I mean, you know, then that's a true number. We talked about it. And J.R. said he got thousands. That's scary. You got a myriad of, no worry about the 7 billion other people in the world. You just got family, folks. You more likely to be around to just get on your, and Glenda Jean, what you got, 400 too? She got all kinds of shit to ride down. Let's sit with somebody she want to strangle. I mean, just be real. I mean, he tests our faith, doesn't he? I'm telling Miss Nicole that. He like, Lord, why on this day you want to have me ride in the very car? All we've been sitting, we could have just went to Inkster. A 5-minute ride. I got to ride in the car for 12, 13 hours. That's a testing of your faith. That's the testing of your faith. And I'm making it comical, but you know it's real. Because if our faith isn't tested, it's not going to grow. And if our faith doesn't grow, then we ain't worth two dead flies in a sense to Christ Jesus. Because we got to live out this thing by faith in the Son of God. They that come to God must first believe that he is. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 4. A 12, 11, right? You gotta have our faith tested, Miss Darlene. It must be tested. Can God do things differently and do things nice and easy? Sure he can. I'll tell Miss Nicole, you know, hey, he had me leave a job. I was at Word of Faith, Faith Christian Academy, Word of Faith Church School, and he just had me leave my job. Now, could he have told me to go to, I was going to Blanchett? Didn't tell me, just leave your job. So I leave in June, sweating bullets throughout all August, because the closer it got to September, which is, I'm a teacher, so September you start thinking, I'm just going ziggity-boom. I'm a praying. He just said, go back to subbing. All right, I'll go back to subbing. Leave your job of teaching and just go back to subbing. All right. That ain't how we would do things. And then while subbing, see, in obedience, comes a job to me. Job I turned down, I didn't want no parts of. Dr. Miss Harris, you didn't have to laugh like that. Oh my goodness. Didn't want no part of it, but it came to me. The job that he wanted for me came to me. He does it on purpose. And I worked there for the next 9 years and leave your job again. Walk away from it. The testing of your faith. Because what that does, the closer you get to the Lord, the more you trust him, the more you rely on him and depend on him, the more you can fulfill this verse, which is to walk by the Spirit. Realizing, I cannot do this on my own. Oh, I see, Jesus, what you were saying, that apart from me, you can do nothing.
That's right.
There's no way Glenda Jean, if she's not saved, sitting at Carlos Hour with somebody that she wouldn't mind strangling. Only by God's grace. Do you understand me? There's a war. We need to meditate on verse 17. The flesh sets itself against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, in opposition to one another. That's happening every single moment of every single day, every single hour. And yet I believe there are Christians that have no idea that's even going on. They don't even know. We're so busy trying to, get our prosperity going on. We don't realize, wow, there's a war going on. And that's one thing that prosperity has done. It don't talk anything about that. That is so disturbing. You know there's a war going on. And if you don't know there's a war going on, then how can you even fight? You won't fight the good fight with strenuous zeal and to agonize. You don't even know to fight to that level because you don't even know there's a war going on at all. What a lie Satan has sold the church. Amen. Our true self, we got some work to do. But we can do it because we're resurrected by the power of God. Right? And you have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We're alive by the power of God. Glory be to God. We're walking miracles. And when he made us alive, guess what he planted within us, y'all? The Holy Ghost. He's lived in us. Christ in us. Oh, glory. I will.